Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, beloved friends, and welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith-McConduchy. That's He's Able by Dietrich Haddon. The vocals are being sung by someone else, Darwin Hobbs, I believe. But that is a great way to open our show today. To just remind us all that God is able through all of our challenges, trials, tribulations, all of our worries, all of our fears, doubts, misfortune, you know, He's able to just deliver us, redeem us, comfort us, you know, love us, provide us grace and mercy, provide us His assurance, blessed assurance. And so very much more. So as we start today's show, and it's been a number of weeks since I've been with you all. We're almost out of March. We're in the last couple of days. So I'm actually going to be doing a show over the next couple of days, one per day to get through our March into Ministry series, this one today, and then one tomorrow evening, and then also Sunday evening as well, just to make sure we finish this series in March. But for those of you who are just now joining, I'm going to recap in a minute what the March into Ministry series is about. Before I do that, though, let me just give you some updates. So March has been a phenomenal month, a very interesting month, as well as, you know, some hurdles and personal difficulties I've encountered. I'm currently on spring break this week, praise the Lord. I got a chance to go home during the earlier part of the week to Memphis, spend some time with my mother and see my father and take care of some personal business that was not so especially enjoyable or delightful, starting my divorce proceedings, which I shared that before when we did the marriage episode of having a Christian-centered marriage. And again, you know, it's heartbreaking when the realization comes that it's, you know, time to terminate it. Because, of course, you know, we know that the Lord is capable of, you know, sustaining and transforming and reviving, you know, anything in His will and in His name. And so we do definitely have to keep that in mind. It's not necessarily all about what we would want. We also have to look at God's ultimate will for our lives, His desire and His purpose. And so we know in His perfect will, in an unfallen world, of course, there would be, every marriage would last a lifetime. But we know that due to our own choices that we make and others' choices, which we cannot control, that's, you know, not always possible. So I'm not going to actually dwell on that for this particular show. I will revisit that at a later time. But also had the blessing of meeting with a couple of friends, church friends, church Christian sisters, and, you know, sharing with them and getting some encouragement and just opportunities to bond and just share, you know, the struggles and, you know, receive support. And God is good. You know, He's made us to be relational beings and to be able to be there for each other. And I pray for them as well. So this week has been particularly busy since I got back on Wednesday. I went straight to Bible study class, and we're in an Emerge series right now. It's every so often, I think perhaps quarterly or at least twice per year, we have these 6 weeks of intensive, specific focal areas in our Bible studies, and they're set up as classes. And my particular class on Kingdom Disciples, which is a book by Tony Evans, Heaven's Representatives on Earth. And so if you've never had the opportunity to read that book, I would definitely encourage you to read it as a Christian, because it does talk about really, you know, refining and improving our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as His representative on earth. So more than just being in a church and getting involved, but going to the root and the depth of, you know, how do we show ourselves as students of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and what does that look like and how does that play out in our everyday lives? And I'll talk about that in a minute when I talk about the books this spring that I'm reading that have had a tremendous impact on me. But again, you know, very busy week here toward the latter part of this week. Yesterday, went to a Shift revival. I'd never heard of it called that before, but it's essentially a revival with a particular title of shift, meaning like a shift of mindset and focus and just, you know, trust in the Lord for, you know, that deliverance and the victory in particular areas of struggle and challenge. And my pastor from First Baptist Church, Pastor Joseph Carroll, preached there, and it was, you know, powerful, very profound. I had the opportunity to bring my son as well, because he didn't work yesterday evening, and just a time of fellowship. Also, we rode in a church van and just got to hear some great stories and engagement with fellow church members, and, you know, a beautiful time. And the focus of the sermon that was delivered, it's not too late for a comeback, and from John 11, the verses like 35 through 44, especially when Lazarus is resurrected by Jesus. And so just letting us know, you know, hold on, that, you know, God is not done with us yet. Jesus is still working in us and through us, and, you know, we're not dead, you know. And, you know, when we have that faith, he can, you know, revive us and reset us and get us back on track. So real quickly before we get into our segment on Christian parenting today, I want to share two books again that I feel that we that have greatly impacted me, and that as Christians, it would be great for us to read, in addition, like the sort of complements to Scripture. And of course, nothing replaces our reading of the Word, but can help illuminate some particular, you know, portions of the Word of Scripture in terms of our daily lives. And we are going to pray specifically in a moment. Our people of influence for this week are actually parents of influence, POI parents of influence. So if you're a parent out there, whether a biological parent, adopted parent, one of my god sisters recently adopted a beautiful baby girl, Amaya, or a foster parent, or you're a parent who's stepping in, you know, stepping in lieu of an absentee parent, and you might be a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, however the case may be. But if you're in that role of parenting, then this is definitely the show for you, of encouragement and inspiration, and just remind us that we're not alone, and that God has empowered us and gifted us to serve in this role as guardians of these children. So I'll speak to that in a minute. These two books that I'm sharing with you, I already talked about King and Disciples. Tony Evans just goes into a great deal of detail, specificity on what a disciple is, what discipleship looks like in an individual's lives and families' lives and communities, and the impact that we can have on the world. So this is very befitting for the particular church where I am, you know, investing and serving most of my time right now, First Baptist Church, because our motto, our mantra is, you know, we impact, you know, the world for Jesus Christ. And so talking about how we can do that, it starts individually and then, you know, collective and more influential impact and presence, you know, once we are, you know, where we need to be with the Lord. This is, it's not finality, because we're constantly evolving, but that we're at least on the right track and, you know, moving in the right direction, moving forward rather than being stagnant or regressing. And so it's just a very powerful book to do a lot of self-examination, self-reflection, and then moving on into how you can bridge that in your own church and community. And then the second one is Not Supposed to Be This Way by Lisa Turkers. I borrowed this book from a coworker. She got to share this with me. We're going through similar issues at this time. And, you know, this is just talking about, if you're not familiar with Lisa Turkers and Proverbs 31 Ministries, I would encourage you to look her up, Google her. She is, she's not, you know, one of these, you know, Princess Perfect Life and, you know, everything is just gone. So, you know, honky-dory and, you know, through rose-colored glass or whatever. She has been through some very trying times, and in her humility and in where the Lord has her at this point, she has used that to glorify the Lord and to testify of his goodness in spite of what she's gone through, and to just see the glory and beauty in her life and in what God has given her despite the challenges and misfortune. So especially for women, this is so, so, but men, of course, can benefit as well, but she writes specifically to her ministry is specifically geared toward women. But I would encourage you, I've, you know, received so many great insights from the book, you know, including you know, not letting go of what's holding us back. And disappointment isn't proof that God is withholding good things from us. Sometimes it's a way of leaving us home. Just a lot of profound insight, you know, how to get through the darkest, most difficult times and all of that. So I would encourage you, these books this spring have been a great blessing to me. Let's talk about prayer. So I want to pray for parents in any capacity, in any role, just for you to feel the confidence through Christ Jesus to go forward and do the job that you have before you. And I pray for those, some are desiring to be parents, but the Lord has not answered that prayer yet, that you'd have peace and comfort until the Lord answers that prayer in such a way that he feels it should be answered. And, you know, for those who have already, in my case, my child is an adult, but you've already been through that parenting process and you're thinking back and reflecting on what you could have or should have done better, just to be released from that maybe guilt or remorse or regret you feel, into, you know, understanding we are not perfect, and everything that we go through does make us stronger and wiser, and we can even share those experiences with others to maybe prevent, you know, some of the same, you know, reoccurrences in their lives. So, dear Father God in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for those who are listening to the show today. I pray for all parents, Lord, whether they're parents of minor children or however, whichever role they've stepped into to be a parent, Lord, just empower them, encourage them, inspire them, Lord, through your word, through others who may be in their lives, Lord. Help them to know they are not alone. Allow them to have a support network around them, Lord, and you know, help them to just give self-care so that they would be able to mentally and physically be there for their children, Lord. I pray for those who are parents of adult children, Lord, that you would give them the peace in knowing that although they didn't make perfect choices, because we are imperfect, Lord, that you are forgiving God, Lord, and that they can use those experiences to help others along the way in their parenting role. I mean, in the Son of Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. So I want to talk, before I go into what the Bible says about parenting, vegan, vegetarian, or vegan coffee. So I don't drink coffee, actually. It's interesting that I should even have this little blurb here, but I know a lot of people do drink coffee. And if you're interested in knowing what vegetarian coffee is and the difference, basically I give you four components of knowing whether your coffee would be considered or classified as vegetarian. What is that it's shade-grown instead of sun-grown? This article here, and this is from urbanvegan.net, if you want to look this up, about vegan. It's under vegan coffee, but vegetarian coffee as well. The sunnier conditions for harvesting the beans for the coffee is not, you know, the best or, you know, most conducive environment for those beans to grow. It leads to deforestation and the loss of biodiversity. So you want them to be shade grown. Also, sun grown coffee does have, you know, chemical input in it, fertilizers and fungicides and all those kind of things that, you know, you don't want that to be in your system at all. Shade grown coffee prevents soil erosion, provides a safe haven for countless animals, and doesn't produce toxic water runoff. So also organic coffee, I mean, obviously the organic piece is, you know, free from pesticides, fertilizers, et cetera. You want to be organic, and then Rainforest Alliance or bird-friendly coffee beans. It conserves wildlife, safeguards soils and waterways, protects workers, increases livelihood. So it says that McDonald's is now using Rainforest Alliance certified coffee beans. So just make sure if you're interested in trying that out, just not only to help the environment, but also to, you know, be healthier for you. Go to urbanvegan.net. They have some links as to vegetarian coffees and espressos that you can order, or how to get those in the grocery store. And then if you want to make it vegan, of course, you would just use the almond milk, soy milk, or There are some coffee creamers that are dairy-free and such. If you want to try that out, the sugar, just make sure it's organic pure cane or some other type of natural sweetener. But anyway, just thought I'd bring that up. Now, what does the Bible say about parenting? And we're in the last minute, so I'm going to go really fast. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, you'll not depart from it. Our church, FEC, actually has, that's one of the, I guess, for this next quarter of the year, focusing, centering on parenting. We've got a two-year, the pastor has a two-year main focus, umbrella focus of families. And I think it, started out really with the vision for your family in the first quarter, and now we're moving into sort of the parenting aspect. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Titus 2:7, show yourself in all respect to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity and dignity. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. So you can tell that a lot of what is spoken of specifically in terms of parenting comes from Proverbs, and a lot of it comes from Titus and 1st and 2nd Timothy as well. Some does come from Colossians also. Before I look at these Christian tips, 10 tips for Christian parents, this is what the Lord has revealed to me in ministry. But going back to just recap, ministry, it defines the Holy Spirit revealed to me. It is our worship to the Lord and worship for the Lord, serving in the kingdom of God, how we show, demonstrate, and portray our service in the kingdom of God individually to him and then collectively with others. And we looked at those four broad categories, aspects of ministry, marriage, which is the foundation of family, parenthood, the extension of family, church work, community ministry, and employment, which is your professional, personal ministry. So looking forward here, and the Holy Spirit gave me this as well. So our relationship to God should come first, and that's through, you know, prayer, reading the word, praise and worship, and ministering unto God, which I'm in the book of 1 Samuel now. I'm going through that 365-day Bible in a year plan. And Samuel was, you know, someone who really knew how to minister unto God, David as well, in the Old Testament. But just, you know, directing, you know, ourselves toward, you know, toward God, the totality of ourselves and everything we have to bring and everything we have to give, turning it over to him. And that's a relationship to God, relationship to ourselves. So that's the self-care, eating right, exercising, getting enough sleep, thinking positive thoughts, renewing our minds, you know, in a positive, optimistic way. And then, of course, recreation and leisure. Sometimes even Jesus himself, you know, he had friendships, he had, you know, social outings and gatherings that he attended. That's, you know, a part of this society. We do it, of course, in a way that, you know, is reverences the Lord and, you know, wouldn't be displeasing or dishonoring to him, but that is, you know, a part of our lives. And then, of course, relationship to others. Number one is a marriage. If you are married, you must nurture your marriage first, and then the rest will fall on the line. I find it so interesting that people are like, oh, my kids or whatever, I don't want to neglect my kids. But I've never heard anyone say, oh, you know, because I put too much into my marriage, you know, I didn't raise my children the way I needed to, unless it was, you know, something that was done technically backward and, you know, you had children and then you married somebody maybe you shouldn't have married, trying to, you know, create that. But anyway, so, and then after, you know, your children, then everyone else, if you have elderly, ailing parents or extended family, friends, church members, volunteer service, however you want to put those in perspective. But here are 10 tips for Christian parents in ministry to their children. Okay, so parenting, if you assume they're all a parent, is one of your main primary responsibilities. It is after your relationship, if you're married, after God and then yourself, and then When I say self, you know, it's self in the context of the things that, you know, make you a healthier, stronger person, not self in the sense of, you know, running out on dates and just leaving your children with whomever, not things that are self-centered or selfish in a worldly way, but those that then, you know, help to rejuvenate us and make us, you know, better and healthier for others. But number one, what the Lord gave me, create a vision for your family, especially in your role as a parent, whether you're a single parent or you're in a divorce situation where you're co-parenting with your ex-spouse or your married parents. What does that look like, you know, for your family, for your children, how you want your children to relate to you, what ultimately you, you know, want to prepare them for as they go out into the world. Two, spend quality time with your child. More important and valuable than stuff, money, or status, right? Get to know his or her unique and special qualities. So stuff doesn't really matter a whole lot to kids. I mean, oftentimes that's what's pushed and emphasized, but most important to children is the time that their parents spend with them, because you can't get that back. You can't get the years back. You can't get the moments back. So understanding is to know who they are, what they like, what their interests are, their personalities, so you can begin to, you know, work with that. Be mindful of your words and actions, behavior, and how they can influence, impact your child or children. So we have personalities as well as adults, and sometimes our personalities may be abrasive or aggressive in a way that, and Scripture talks about this, turns our child to wrath or discouragement. We have to be mindful of that, and we have to submit that to the Lord and ask, and then being willing to surrender and let the Holy Spirit work within us, so that, you know, we don't come across in that way. We want our children to trust us and be, we don't want to be pushovers and be their friends, but we want to have a relationship that is healthy and positive and invites them, you know, to want to engage with us. Keep your child or children away from known adverse influences, even if they are family members. So even if it's your ex-spouse, you know, if you have that great of a concern that the child may be exposed to some things that they should not be, then you do need to go through a legal process for, you know, supervised visitation or whatever the case may be, because it's your responsibility to protect that child if it's to that degree. Or having other family members come around who aren't, you know, living lifestyles that, you know, would be, you know, pleasing to God in that, you know, sense, like the drugs or this cursing or this other activity that's very detrimental to the child. Pray daily for and over your child and children, for their friends, their choices, their spouses, their surroundings, for wisdom, discernment, and the desire to know God. And their children don't have to be a certain age for you to do that. You can do that when they're, you know, first born, when they're in the womb, really, and just continue to do it. Have Bible studies and engage in other spiritually enriching, Christian-oriented activities with your children. My son is fully grown. Last night, you know, we went to the Shift Revival together. Continue to develop and build that relationship with your children, regardless of their age. Teach and model for your child children the value of self-sacrifice, like volunteer service, forgiveness, temperance, prudence with finances, the fruits of the Spirit. Let your child see you actively doing things that glorify God and honor God in your life, with the choices you make and what you do. Refrain from disciplining and anger. Set firm boundaries out of love. So it's, you know, being totally permissive is not a sign of love, and it speaks to that in Proverbs. You know, children need boundaries. People need boundaries. Everybody needs a system of order and structure, and God talks about that, you know, in the Bible. The Word of God talks about that, you know, God is not a God of confusion, but, you know, order, things done decently and in order. Understand that your child, children are not perfect, and you are not perfect. Be loving, forgiving, and merciful. As our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is loving, forgiving, and merciful to you, it was very important to not hold us with an unreasonable standard, because God does not hold us to an unreasonable standard. We will make mistakes. We will err. But it's the desire, the sincere desire to walk with God. That's what you want to instill in your children and show your children, model that for them so that they will want their desire as well. Remember, the years go by fast. Cherish them each and every moment. know that you will have regrets and remorse for your poor choices you made in parenting, but God's grace and mercy and everlasting love are sufficient enough to cover us for all errors and missteps. Think of 2 Corinthians 12:9 and also Acts 17:28. In him we live and move and have our being. So we want to teach our children that through his creation of us, and that the Creator has created us to be able through his power, through the power of the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, to be victorious in situations even that are upsetting and disturbing to us and in our lives. So that's it for today. I'll be back with you tomorrow, God willing, and we'll talk about marching, the third part of our series, Marching to Ministry, which related to, you know, church work and, you know, working in the through the church and in the community. So God bless you. Be safe. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye. Or talk to you tomorrow or with you tomorrow. Be blessed. Bye.